I just did a kind of a deep dive to figure out what it means to us personally. For me, it meant that that there is truth in the universe, and that there is an opening now for people that are willing to receive truth through our true north, whatever that may be, and that there's a flow if we choose to allow it to happen, that we can really just receive it right now from sources that are not as distorted as this planet appears to be right at the moment. Megan, do you want to share what your was?
Not a lot, just I could feel that this is an important energetic day in terms of openings, whether you call it portal openings or openings to our higher self, almost like a portal opening so that we have more access to our higher self. That's what I felt.
Yeah. Any of the rest of you have any attachment to 1111, Stella?
Yes. Well, actually, I've been struggling to connect with True North the last couple of days, and just other things have been going on, and my body has really been struggling. And so yesterday I said to my body, listen, for the first 7 years of my journey, I sort of dragged you along with me, but for what we have coming forward with this new blueprint and all the messages I'm getting, I need you to be fully on board with this. So if you're not on board, then you have the next, you know, if you're not on board, we don't wake up tomorrow morning and so be it. But if you are on board, we'll wake up and proceed with my life. But I hadn't looked at the date, so I didn't realize that today was 11/11 when I said this yesterday morning to my body to say, have to be a hell yes if we're moving forward with this. Yeah. And just all be on the same page. And then sometime in the middle of the night or sometime this morning, something shifted. And well, I'm on this call and I'm still alive. So,
yay. Welcome back. Welcome to your body.
It's like I can't, for what's coming, for the energy and the portal and all these other things that's coming, my body needs to be a, this wasn't something I could drag my body along with. It needed to be a consensual decision to be on board, to be a living portal and transmission for this medicine that's coming through. So I'm here.
Yet another happy birthday for Stella. Woohoo!
So many.
I love them. I think it's great to celebrate when we have birth of a new part or a rebirth of an old part or whatever it may be. So speaking of which, let's all go on mute except again. And would you lead us through a meditation, please, or a centering?
Sure.
Thank you.
All right, so I'll invite you to close your eyes and get your feet on the ground, breathing deeply into your spine, knowing that as you take in this conscious breath, you're taking in the world, you're taking in life, all that is without, and you bring it deeply within yourself, and then on the out breath, you exhale, bringing your own DNA, your own experiences out into the world. So feel your breath as a magic dance with life. Imagine that you are surrounded by light or your guides or your angels, however you imagine being protected and being in a circle of light. And feeling that you have this beautiful sparkling consciousness running up and down your spine. Just send a grounding cord down from the base of your spine, down your legs and down into the earth. Feel your intimate connection with Mother Earth. Feel the power and the stability that she offers to you as you soak up this earth energy up into your body. and then feeling your compass needle up your spine, pointing that compass needle up through the top of your head, and however you imagine it, point it to your absolute true north, your higher self. Feeling your connection with all the cosmic realms. And if you would like to imagine your own personal portal opening so that you have more access, you can do so now. Just feel your access to your higher selves, the star energy, your guides. Just allow that channel to really open and connect. Let's imagine the same thing happens for planet Earth. The planet Earth has a portal opening for higher consciousness to beam down onto the Earth, right through the layers of Earth into the crystal beds and the waters and deep, deep down into the core. Feel how Earth herself is shifting and changing and upgrading to support our further awakening. So just breathe that in. And we feel our gratitude for this group and this community of masters coming together and sharing and being with one another, encouraging one another. So we're grateful for this circle. Just take a few more deep breaths, bringing yourself firmly into the present moment now. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes.
Thank you so much. Megan, I gave you the theme for tomorrow morning's meeting rather than tonight's meeting. Tonight's Wednesday with the Council, our theme is the issue in society needing change, which I feel most strongly when I think what I think must happen and why. And that's our first round. And because we're such an intimate group tonight, we probably will have a chance to go a second round. And that will be what I'm doing or would like to do about it. What I think or know I need this time as a master in order to help change it, whatever that issue is. So we have a choice. We can either 4-minute rounds with all of it and then a discussion, or we can break it up into two things. What option A would be everything together. Option B would be two rounds. Who's for option A? Jonathan, you need to come back off camera or on camera so I can see. Option A is everything at once. Okay, one. Option B. Okay, Jonathan, you don't care? Can't hear you.
I'm actually undecided, but I'll just go for option A.
Okay, well, that makes it, then I'm the tiebreaker. We're going to go for option A all at once. Okay. So 4 minutes each. And so I'll give it to you all at once. The issue in society that you think needs change and about which you feel most strongly, what you think must happen and why, what you're doing about it or would like to do about it, and what you need in order to be able to do that as a master. So who would like to go first, please? And the rest of us go on mute. I'll go first. Okay, I've got the mic. I'll do it anyway. So 4 minutes, let me set it. Okay, the issue that I feel is most important in society today, and I don't think it's just confined to the US, is the notion that we are separate and that we are so polarized as people. Whether it's politics or race or gender or poverty or economics, we could call it economics, or if it's maladies or refugees or victim and victimizers, whatever it is, this whole idea that there is such a dedication to polarity experience on this planet, I think is the issue that prevents all other issues from getting solved more easily. That said, that's what this planet is good for. That's the laboratory that was designed in the 3D. If ascension is true, and those of us that are on this call, including a lot of other people that we know and love, and a lot of others that we haven't yet remembered or met again and love, are here specifically to help the planet ascend into a higher resonance and dimension, fourth or fifth or however, whatever your belief system is, if you do adhere to that, then there's a reason to believe that polarity will soften or change or disappear or whatever. We'll all remember that we're one, and we'll start acting accordingly, and resources will begin to be harmonized amongst everyone, and our free will will have a different implication than it does now, in my view. So what I'm doing about that is promulgating a oneness mentality through the mastery work and through the idea that all of us are sovereign beings, divine in human form, and that we're fully response-able, and that includes in the integration of all parts of self, which is an aspect of oneness that a lot of people don't even adhere to or even think about. What I feel I need in order to do a better job of that than I'm even doing now are regular fora where this sort of thing is spoken about, but not as if people actually have the answers, more of an investigation. I find the fora where people are fora that we have because people have ideas about how it works. Nobody needs to be right. Everybody gets to journey as a master on their own masterful journey. And it has the ultimate effect of the oneness being far more rich, juicy, and diverse than it might be otherwise. And that's the kind of diversity and the kind of oneness that really appeals to me. So that must reflect a lot of what my own innate wiring is, which is why it makes sense to me. So that's what I would like to say. Those are my, I don't know how many minutes. Oh, 3 minutes. How nice. Who would like to go next, please? Preeti, please.
Thanks, Diane. That's lovely. So what I feel needs change in the world is, so what I observe in the world is there is a lot of resistance to change in an individual level. Even when it is in the understanding of an individual that there is a change, there is still a lot of resistance, both conscious and unconscious. And I feel that this resistance is very often due to what I believe is the factor of judgment and the conditioning of judgment. So whenever somebody, at least in my experience, perceives something of the other, they see it in a place of judgment that any incident happening, whatever they reflect on, the default response seems to be for me to understand others and know others and to kind of protect themselves and defend. So it automatically goes to a place of judgment, which I believe can be better turned as self-reflection. So irrelevant of what the other person is doing or saying or whatever, instead of judging that person, if that learning experience is reflected back in what the response is from within, I feel like there would be lesser resistance to change or even awareness to change if that needs to be. The reason why I'm saying this is as I go through, personal experiences and also I'm having some training on transformational coaching which kind of opened me to a lot of insights on what is transformation and what encourages and what kind of discourages. So I'm synthesizing the information that I'm collecting with what I've been able to understand and experience right now at an individual level. So I feel there would be a huge change if we kind of turn the judgment into self-reflection, which would create a lot of opportunities for transformation at an individual and therefore at a collective level. What are my contributions? Obviously, my purpose is being a change agent. So I'm looking into reaching one-on-one through coaching or training on a group level or speaking about topics that are of interest and also kind of open people's mind to different possibilities of learning and looking at themselves. So that would be how I like to make an impact or contribute for this cause. And I feel when the collective and when the individual level is kind of activated through this level of open learning, there would be better potential for a collective learning. And I think it's a very good time, especially with this whole crisis and, you know, the change that we have. It's so potent. The transformation is so potent. And I feel like when we are able to, when I'm able to at an individual level to open up and be less resistant, I would invite more opportunities for transformation at a positive level. So that's my thoughts. Thank you. Would like to go next? Yes, Stella.
Thank you. I'll start my timer. I really love what both of you have said because it's like that ties a lot with something I was going to say. So for me, one of the biggest issues in the world today has to do with the fact that so many people in adult bodies aren't actually adults. They think they're adults, but they're in some other stage of development. And as we're seeing in the United States right now, an adulterated toddler has lost an election, and no one in his party wants to tell him that he's lost, and they're all coddling him as though they were hoping, you know, kind of like in the grocery store when you have a toddler and you really don't want them to have a tantrum in front of all the other people, so you're willing to buy them all the toys and all the candy just so that they get to the car calmly. And that's kind of what we're seeing being played out at a national level, and it's really, really dangerous. It's dangerous for the fabric of our democracy. It's dangerous for our future. It's dangerous for the community as a whole. And all of these people are still acting from these various levels, reacting rather than taking responsibility. And so for me, I mean, the president of the United States is an extreme case. But that sort of, when you see these cases magnified in the culture, it also mirrors oftentimes what's happening internally for a lot of people. What I'm doing about it is, well, a lot of my work, Sacred Sovereignty, is about teaching people how to create a secure foundation within so that they can rise into adulthood. And parts of it is ritualistic. It's having the stage three, the three stages of initiation. Most people in the West have, due to trauma, to trauma, have experienced stage one and stage two of an initiation, but they've never been welcomed in as a new member of the tribe, as an initiated adult. And that keeps them spiraling in this one, two, dramatic thing of trying to complete this never-ending cycle. So I feel part of the work is completing the initiations, and part of the work is clearing away the learned conditioning and socialization and programming. And part of the work is bringing in pleasure and nourishment at a soul level. And part of the work is giving people tools around oneness and emotional alchemy and what it looks like to be in a state of joy and also feel grief and also feel anger and also feel all of the different things that we can feel. And part of it is also talking about love as something bigger than just an energy in motion. For me, love is a steadfast energy that doesn't change depending on what's going on inside. And that's, you know, working with attachment, working with all of these different things. There's a lot of different ways of doing this, and my timer has gone off. So I'll pause at that and say sacred sovereignty is part of the solution. Thank you. Who would like to go next? Jonathan.
I think we need to do great acts of reclaiming and discarding at the same time. I think in order for us to discard the worst of our inheritance and heritage, we have to reclaim the best of it. I think we need to learn how to get in touch with the earth and the stars and nature, and see that we can do that without losing our intellectual critical abilities. And I think that, what was I about to say? There's something on the tip of my tongue. I think we need to learn how to make people who are afraid less afraid. In other words, a lot of people are doing dysfunctional things as out of a deep-seated sense of fear, although they may not acknowledge it. And I think we need to figure out what can give people who are acting dysfunctionally out of fear a sense of safety, so that they can come out of the really bizarre shells that they've boxed themselves into. That's it's not a complete answer, but it's an important part of one.
So the second half of that is, what are you doing about it? What would you like to do about it? And what do you need as a master in order to help you do that? Thank you.
Oh, what am I doing about it? At the moment, I'm just doing a lot of reflection and imaginary scenarios, and reviewing it. And I'm trying to keep my spirituality active, but still keep my old keep the sides of my old self alive that should be alive. And try to just be aware of the layers of people. Try to be aware that people are layers, that, you know, underneath the stuff that you're seeing about how they act on the surface, there's all kinds of other stuff. And also realize that many of my own personal insecurities are ones that many more people have than we know to realize. Most people who are deeply insecure don't realize that their insecurities are shared by well over 3/4 of the rest of the human race. And just be aware that those are there, and get a sense that people, in some ways people are different, some people ways are the same. And I mean, some differences are real differences, but sometimes you find more in common, and it's just sort of idiosyncratic quirks than you may have expected. So again, not a complete answer, but it's what I got for now.
I'm waiting for your stage play, John.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've got an idea for a screenplay, but to get it, change it to a stage play is going to be a little rough, but.
Screenplay, stage play.
Okay.
Cool.
I told Diane in a session that we had one-on-one a couple of years ago that 10 years ago, I was actually accepted into San Francisco Film School and decided not to go at the time. But, you know, I've had four relatives in the film industry, even though the past 20 years of my life have been much more of a theater goer than a movie goer. But I have had four relatives in the film industry, so I'm a little more aware of it. But the film industry is so corrupt these days. It's just a little scary.
All right. Are you done?
Yeah. Yeah. Done. Okay.
I'll go next. I love what everyone's saying so far.
John, would you please go on mute? Thanks.
Oh, yeah.
This is a challenging question. I think since I was probably at the beginning, in my 20s, at the beginning of my therapy career and started studying Jung, I recognize that the reason I'm here and what I care most passionately about is fully awakening the individual so that individuals can then contribute to society. And so I feel like I'm, the thing I'm so passionate about is helping people to clear the distortions in their psyche so that they can become a vessel for their higher self to come through so that we can have this diversity, so that everyone feels like a high functioning member of society because they're enjoying their life and contributing what their diverse gift is, so that the image of kind of everybody having a piece of the pie and fitting into finding out where they fit in to society so that they can contribute in the maximum way. I mean, what I'm doing, everything I do in my life is pretty much focused around holding this, the healed human, holding the whole and healed human as consciously as possible. And that's really what I've dedicated my life to, finding rituals, initiations, robes, ways of teaching, ways of facilitating experiences so that people can have a fuller experience of their awakened consciousness. The question that's interesting is, what do I need as a master to help me do that? Is that what the question was? You know what I'm realizing more and more as I get older is I'm needing the support of these kinds of communities and my Kabbalah community and the mastery community and my feminine path of power community. I could never do this in a vacuum. And so the support for me as master to do my own piece of this whole pie is the support. So I'm just excited really to be here and to do this work with everybody and to be together. I love being in these pods and feeling like we're all going in the same direction together. So that's what I need is the support, and I have that. Thank you. I'll keep you posted if I need anything different, if I figure something out. Thank you.
That's wonderful. Thank you. I think this will be an informative, as it is for each of us to listen to each other, for the people that are unable to join us tonight. It was really interesting this time around when I sent out the notice. I got several responses back saying, so sorry, I can't be on the call, really looking forward to listening to the recording. And people don't say that unless it's true. There's no gain for them or me or our relationship or anything else. It's just truth for that person. And one person says, you don't know this yet because I haven't been on any of the calls because it's not at a time I can come. I listen to them on my daily walks. And that's really cool. So it is useful for us to carry this on. This is the 33rd call that we've had that has actually come to fruition. We've had two calls that either we chose not to record. This is the 33rd recording, I think it is. And I think we chose one or two not to record because it ended up, well, actually we recorded it and then we didn't post the recording because it was so personal and so revealing for each of us. It was just a natural group evolution to being so intimately frank about what we were talking about. So one, we agreed that we wouldn't post, and the other one, Megan and I arbitrarily decided we weren't going to post. And so that's testimony to the idea that if just even five of us, as we have shown up tonight, do, that it has a value beyond just the sharing that we do at the time. So I want to acknowledge all of us who could be on the call, all of you who are listening to the call individually after the fact, and all the people that would perhaps like to be on this call and either don't know about it or aren't able to listen to it. So what I would like to do now is bring the council through and see if they have any thoughts about things. Megan often says, you know, it's Wednesday evenings with the Grand Council and we often don't even hear from them. And normally it's because we have enough people and we are wise and we are masters in human form. That the council decides that they would rather hear from us. And so they're here with us all the time. They're just not talking as much as the title of the series might suggest. So are you all okay with that for the next?
Yes, may I just add one quick thing before?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, yes, let's wind it up for ourselves and then we'll have, so whatever people want to say.
I realize that I never answered the last question, and one of the sources of support for me has been these weekly calls. So I'm so very grateful that, you know, what started out as a month-long experiment has turned into this extended thing. I think I've been on all the calls except for one. So this has fed me and nourished me and allowed me, it's something I don't miss. So I'm so very grateful for this space. In terms of supporting me in my mastery. Thank you.
Well, thank you too, because you've been a regular contributor for other people to be able to hear possibilities for themselves as well. So yes, you're very welcome and thank you. Well, it's really a mutual benefit for each of us. Is there anything else any of you would like to say based on what someone else said or anything you'd like to add for your own sharing? Thank you.
Well, I would just echo Stella's comments. I love this support, and the Mastery community has been a great support for my own learning, my own reflections. I feel like the questions are so rich in these discussions, and often when I reflect on it, I know a lot more about myself, and it doesn't come through unless I start talking. So it's a discovery for myself, reflect on it, and also mirror people's thoughts and get inspired by others, whatever they are doing within the community. So it's been great support for me, and I definitely rely on this support for my own mastery and for my own transformation. So thank you again.
Thank you as well, Preeti. Jonathan, do you have anything you want to add before we go into the other part of this? Please unmute if you're going to talk.
No, but thank you for asking. Okay.
Okay, please mute. Thank you. Megan, would you like to add anything? Okay. All right, well, let's just breathe three times together and then we'll see what the council has to say. And so it is, we come to meet and to greet with the five of you, as well as the 500 of you that will be impacted by those of you showing up both in spirit, in body, in mind, and in heart. Whether it is on the call itself or the listening of it at a later time, or the fact that what each of you have shared with your colleagues, your fellow journeyers, will live on in each of all of you in some ways. And the ripple effect of that, if you just think about it, 500 people is only 100 each. And that isn't even your job. All you do is share something that you are aware of or you think is a possibility with someone else. And that one might influence two or three. And before you know it, 500 people have been influenced by your hour together, our 1 hour together. And this in itself is a way that we would suggest is an issue in your lives and your world right now, is that so very few people are deliberate in their communications around how they feel, what they think, what their dreams are, what their hopes, their fears, their weaknesses, their strengths, their desires, their pleasures, their pain, their this, their that. So many people, as you rightly say, the Jonathan, have fear around living their lives, as the oracle would put it, out loud. Living their lives in juicy ways, interfacing with their own realities, in quotes, interfacing with those things that they feel hold them back or propel them forward in ways that actually benefit them instead of paralyze or threaten or caution them. So much of the limitation that people experience individually as well as collectively is thought form based. It is not reality. It is thought forms based on emotional either wounding or emotional projections or emotional memories or emotional something about an emotion that is not clear, clean, resolved from an original experience of some sort that smacks of whatever it is an individual is facing in a given moment. So an example of this would be when, as a young boy, a father is to say to the young boy hears his father say, you will never amount to anything if you don't, ABC. And the little boy doesn't maybe understand what ABC is. He certainly does, though, understand what preceded that suggestion, and that was, you'll never amount to anything. And if you don't do what I tell you to do, would be the second thing that he might recall from that when he's in his 30s or 40s and he still has not done the ABC that the father threatened him with, or what the father thought he was doing was instructing, guiding, and advising his son, because it was prefaced with a threat that you'll never amount to anything. The rest of that sentence was pretty much not heard, because of the fear that it invoked. It was invoked from the first part of the sentence. And people talk to each other and to themselves like this all the time. We hear it all the time. And in fact, one of the things that is an issue as far as we are concerned on your planet is the negative self-talk that we hear everyone doing, almost everyone. Those of you in the masterwork are learning to distance yourselves from the need to keep yourselves small or safe, so to speak, or hidden or invisible or appropriate or politically correct or whatever it might be, in the vain hope that somebody that you would like to have love you will love you the ways that make sense to you. We call this a vain hope because if you model yourself after what you think someone else approves of or will love, you're always going to be on tinder hooks or broken eggshells walking on them. Because what happens if the other person changes their criterion or criteria for who they will love and what that person must do? This happens all the time in relationships, does it not? Even in your own relationship with yourself, you are changing the criterion. When you meet a certain goal or you achieve a certain talent or you have a certain recognition that you have been striving for a long time, whether it is from another or from yourself, and then all of a sudden, well, okay, tick, got that. Now, in order for me to be deserving of my own appreciation, my own love, my own approval, Now I must do da, da, da. And we are here to say to you, that is fine if it motivates you from a positive, constructive, and self-loving sort of way. For most of you, that is, well, you're okay, but, and as you know, in our vocabulary, but, however, on the other hand, all of those sorts of things always negates whatever was said or thought before that. So you're pretty okay, you did a good job, but now you must do better. All that your psyche will hear is, now I must do better. So this would be one of our issues that we would put forward to all of your kind hearts and your intelligent brains and your collective honor to be the masters that you are in the best ways you know how. And that is to get yourselves off your own hooks and to really, truly learn to love yourselves the way you really are, truly are. Because none of you are going to be without some sort of fault, some sort of weakness, some sort of something or other, shadow, shame, all of this sort of thing that all of you work really diligently to eradicate from your lives. And what we would ask you to do is, rather than eradicating those things from your life, learn to use them as one does in a garden. When something dies and it is a plant product and it dies, you put it in the compost pile or you put it there so it can die and can transform into something that nurtures something other than itself. And so if you can compost those parts of yourself rather than giving them away or burying them from sight or burning them or wishing them away or whatever, if you can take whatever you have to offer to yourself as fodder for growth, as the Preeti was saying, for self-development, for transformation, for the sovereign, we do not remember your wonderful phrase, the stellar something. Sovereign something. That is every reason to believe that every single thing about each of you, every molecule, every experience, every insight, every failure, success, friendship, lost relationship, every abuse that you have endured or you have dished out, every lie you have been told or have told yourselves, everything. All of it is fodder for growth, is fodder for rebirth of a new or a latent part of yourself as master. So this is a nuance from the sort of thing that you focus on typically in human self-development. And that is usually to transform something into a whole new way of being. We would say to you that everything you came in with in your blueprints is designed for growth, is designed for development, is designed for evolution, is designed for self-acceptance and love, which then equips each of you to be more compassionate to those who may not yet be aware that they are already fine as they are, where all these things that you, the Jonathan, brought up about the fear, having compassion for those who live their lives in abject fear, and many of them have no idea why. That there are those who function in your businesses, in your organizations, your governments, your schools, all of whom, or many of whom we will say, have deep, deep insecurities. They wonder if someone will find out that they're a fraud, like the Stella said, that they're really a child in adult human form in a costume that they borrowed or begged or stole from the costume department because they went for a job interview and they had to be at least 18 or 19. And so they were able to pull that off. But now they are 50 or 60 and they're a CEO and they're still behaving as the 10-year-old who went and got that 18-year-old costume, lo, those many decades ago. And there hasn't been a great deal more maturity that has come with the costume. For certain. And unless an individual is on a trajectory of self-development, self-introspection, self-knowledge, self-whatever, evolution, we will call it, there is very little chance that they will mature in more than just the typical biological maturation process with a beard and gravity working its way on muscles and other things and hair changing from dark to light and skin going from glowing to dull and all those things that are typical aging signs. That is what people see as maturity. So remember, just because a person is old, if a person is old, it does not mean they are wise. If a person is old and has that person has not had a wide, diverse, rich, juicy life, does not mean that they could really turn around and advise anyone else on anything other than perhaps you'd like to have a rich, diverse, juicy, wide experience sort of life, because mine has been rather safe and dull and boring and limited. You see, there are many myths in your cultures all over your planet that have arisen based on what people tell each other that they would like to believe is true. And now you are in a phase and in a marvelous opportunity, as far as we are concerned, to be able to take whatever those myths, traditions, beliefs, religious, and other paradigms, et cetera, and really sift through them for yourselves, for your own personal reasons. Sift through what you have been taught, what you have embraced, what you have believed, what you have insisted on being right or holy or sacred or the way things work, and examining those things for yourself and choosing freshly in these new energies, for the energies are indeed as chaotic and as confusing and upsetting to most of you as they are. They are the perfect energies for dusting old things off like thought forms and deciding whether to compost them because they can be rebirthed into something more useful and nourishing for you or others or all of you. Or if you are going to spruce them up and update them and question them here, there, and everywhere and shine them up a bit and put them back on the shelf so that you can refer to them from time to time. It is well the time now for you to be doing these kinds of inventories. We've been after all of you to clean your spaces and your places and your things and to create space within your homes and your apartments and your cars and your closets and your cupboards so that there can be enough space for new things to arise and to arrive and to take up residence with you. For many people will just accumulate things and ideas and relationships and patterns and habits and ways of being and never, ever change them for decades. They just get more ingrained, more seemingly comfortable, more well instituted. And this is not really how life was intended for divine individuals in human form to live. It has become a way that people deal with too much input, too much stimulation, too many choices, too much conflict, too much coming and going, too much rhythm, too much noise, too much information in your day and age for certain. And so many, many humans have cut back on their willingness to be juicy. We would say as masters, this is a number one requirement of all of you to be the juiciest form of yourselves as you can possibly tolerate. And if you get too juicy, of course, the other masters will say, bit too much juice, thanks, racket back or not. Probably not in this community. They would say, wow, that's a lot of juice. And then you would be the one to adjust or not. You see, there are many permissions in this community that you are afforded because there is every intention that it stay a diverse community of people that share a very simple philosophy of life. And that is that light, love, and laughter are the most important things you can be, do, and have, and share. And that you are divine beings in human form, and that each and every human is a master on a masterful journey. That's it. That's simple. Lots of freedom, lots of room to move around. So until we have the pleasure and the honor of just waxing, well, we would like to think eloquent, anyway, waxing at length with you, we are going to bid you a most wondrous day and or evening, wherever you are and whenever you listen to this, and to remind you beyond a doubt that we see you, we know you, we appreciate you, and we love you beyond anything you can possibly remember love being. For there are so many confusions about it on your planet. Where we are, it is very clear, love is it. And for now, blessings, prosperity, good health, and adieu. So we have 4 minutes by my clock, by the clock on my laptop. Anything anybody would like to say?
I really appreciate how the Grand Council managed to weave everything that we've said in this time together and also add additional clarity and wisdom and blessings and magic. So thank you very much for that.
For me, it summed it all up when they said light, love, and laughter. That appeals to me so much. I'm thinking of having that as an email signature or something. That's what comes to me now.
Well, I'm going to quote the first two lines of an old Pete Seeger song. And they are, "You give me hope, not just the old soft soap." Okay. I'll leave it at that.
Oh, Pete Seeger passed recently, I think, not within the last few months.
No, I think it was a few years ago, actually.
But was it? Oh, okay. I thought it was more recently.
Yeah, he was 90. Yeah. I think I've seen him in concert more times than any other performer, live in concert.
Oh, I thought you were going to say than any other person.
Well, no, I've seen him live in concert more than any other performer. I think seven times.
Wow. He knew how to perform for sure. Yeah. Megan, would you like to wind us up tonight? Thanks. Well, don't wind us up. Just would you like to wind up the session?
Let me wind you up. Well, let's just take a moment. I don't have anything to say. So let's just take a moment and breathe together and appreciate each other and the support that we offer each other. Just feel your gratitude and your heart opening, and just offer that heart energy to each one in the circle. And for those who are listening at a later date, we're encircling each other with lots of love, light, and laughter. And imagine that we're all protected and guided, and that each of us is connecting every day more and more to our absolute true north, so that we can just enjoy each other on this journey of life that we all decided to incarnate together to do. So I know that I'm very grateful for each one of you and feel so good to be in circle. And we thank the Grand Council for their constant love and guidance and wisdom and gentle pushes and not so gentle pushes. I feel a lot of gratitude in my heart. So let's put that out to each other. And great to be with you all today.
Here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Bye. Have a wonderful time for Indian clothes with your daughter, and sweet dreams to the rest of us tonight.
Thank you.